Junius Williams was a young law student and activist when he arrived in Newark 2 years before the week-long rebellion.
On day three, the police of the National Guard, the local police, and the state police, especially the state police, they went on a rampage. All 26 people who were killed by police officers, including one fireman. So after that, people were afraid, number one. But number two, we looked up and we realized that the power structure was afraid of us.
Williams stayed in Newark to change the power structure and to raise a family there. But in the 1950s and 60s, about half of the city's population left. And some, like the novelist Paul Auster, went back and forth. He was born in Newark and moved between there and nearby South Orange when he was growing up. In July 1967, Auster's stepfather was Newark's lawyer. It was the third night of the rebellion, and the two had just had dinner together in Manhattan, near where Auster was going to school at Columbia University. As they were heading back to Auster's apartment in Morningside Heights, they heard on the radio that Newark had called in the National Guard. His stepfather turned the car around.
So we drove in, and we went straight into City Hall. And there was Anisio, big, fat, pear-shaped man, with his head in his hands, weeping, saying to my stepfather, Norman, Norman, what am I going to do?
Auster is talking about Hugh Adonisio, Newark's 33rd mayor and the last white mayor the city has had since. Auster was stunned by the chaos and violence. He wanted to find out more, and his curiosity led him to the basement of City Hall.
And then I went down into the jails under City Hall, which were crammed with black men, no white people, all black men. And they were all bleeding. Every single one had blood coming out of his head or his face. And they'd all been roughed up horribly by the police or the troopers or the guard, whoever it was.
Auster had spent part of his childhood in the Weequake neighborhood, a one-time Jewish enclave that was also where Philip Roth grew up. It's also the same neighborhood where Junius Williams raised his family. Auster says he struggled with the decision to leave Newark.
But I believe so much in my future as a writer that I felt I couldn't become a full-time activist. I had to choose. It was a tormenting position to be in, and I still think about it.
Many Newarkers who left before and after the riots had to make a similar decision: move on and never look back, or stay involved with the city. Rebecca Carroll, WNYC News.
And one of those who figured out a way to stay involved is Hal Braff. He's an attorney, a Newark native, and the co-founder of the Weequake High School Alumni Association. Mr. Braff, good morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
And good morning to you.
So you lived in the Weequake section of Newark for parts of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Can you tell us about the neighborhood that you grew up in?
Well, for 30 years, the community, Weequake High School community, was basically Jewish. 9 out of 10 people in my graduating class were Jews. And it was interesting because it wasn't necessarily a religious community. It was a safe community. But I graduated from the high school, Weequake High School. It was a wonderful place. It was a place you perhaps know Philip Roth went to. And he wrote a lot about the community.
So why did you decide to leave the neighborhood that you had such a special meaning to you?
Toward the early part of the 60s, up until about 64, the community changed. The Jews who thought it was safe to stay in the Weequake section felt free to leave and move to the suburbs. And there was a sense that as our homes were sold, that it wasn't going to be the same. That which we had was going to change. And, of course, the black community began to move in. And if you take a look at the high school pictures from the early 60s until about 64, they were all white. And after that, the same community immediately changed. And so a lot of people got out.
You moved out of Newark in 1965, but you did remain very involved in the city and its affairs. You served as counsel for the local chapter of the Congress of Racial Equality, or CORE, headed up by the late civil rights activist Robert Curvin. What motivated you to get involved with organizations like that?
You know, I grew up, Richard, during the Jim Crow years. And the Jim Crow laws in the South were not applied in New Jersey, in New York. But there was really a sense, and the realtors made it clear, that we were not going to live with the black community. And I found that appalling, and I worked with people from CORE and with the NAACP in Newark to see what we could do about getting rid of some of the problems we had. For example, in an adjoining community, East Orange, an East Orange native who lived in the city and who was a taxpaying citizen was not permitted to play. They wouldn't let him play on the East Orange-owned golf course. So one Sunday, we went to the golf course, and we sat down on one of the greens and had a picnic with the newspaper people there, and then we were able to break through, and then they allowed blacks to play on their own community golf course. That kind of thing was going on all over, and it was appalling.
What happened to the neighborhood in the post-riot years, and what is it like today?
The Jewish community was pretty much out of there by the summer of 67. In the summer of 67, mostly the effect on the Jewish community were those people who owned stores were looted and were burned down during those 5 days in July.
How would you describe the Week Wake section today?
I would say that the people who go to the same school are at or below the poverty line. The same school that was so safe and was so excellent as an academic institution is infested by gangs. There's an article on the paper the other day about a wonderful teacher at Week Wake who counts 46 different students of his who have been murdered. I'm not saying dying of diseases, Richard. I'm talking about being murdered in the community. What we try to do with the Alumni Association is to provide hope and to provide opportunity and scholarships to those kids who go to the same schools. And the way we did that is by saying, look, we who went years ago have a relationship with you. We went to the same school, and we want to come back and help. We try to establish a kinship with the kids who are there now. I'm very pleased with what we've been able to do and to apply opportunity and education for kids who go to the same school we went to.
Hal Braff is a longtime attorney and the co-founder of the Week Wake High School Alumni Association. Mr. Braff, thanks so much for coming on with us.
My pleasure.